Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7, this is the reading of God's Word. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Beth-El, and told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there." So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward clan by clan. The clan that the Lord takes shall come forward family by family, and the family that the Lord takes shall come forward man by man. He who is caught with the devoted thing shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahites. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they buried them. Over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but doesn't that seem a little extreme? I mean, really. We know that he shouldn't have done this. He sinned. He coveted. He stole. He lied. But death? I mean, the death penalty for that? If God were to enforce that sort of penalty today, we'd all be killed, wouldn't we? Yeah, that's precisely the point. That is precisely the point. See, tragically, those who grow up hearing the gospel of grace often develop an attitude that sin is no big deal. You know, well, we all sin. You know, we've all sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Well, one of my favorite verses. In fact, I think that may be my life verse. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a problem. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death. That is precisely what we have earned. So I've done some good things too. Yeah, but here's the deal. If you walked out of the building today and a meteorite hit you and put a hole through the top of your head and down through your leg and you burned up from the inside out, you would not be able to say, "Unfair!" No, it would be fair. We have sinned. We deserve to die. Not just physically, but to be cut off from God. We only appreciate what Jesus did when we know that. And tragically, people who call themselves Christians today seldom seem to know that. There's basically an attitude that God ought to grade on the curve. That because we've all sinned, God can't possibly hold us all accountable. Well, actually, God's solution was not to grade on the curve. It was to send his son. Jesus bore the wrath of God in our place. He took our punishment. And the only reason that we are not going to go to hell is because Jesus has already borne God's wrath in our place. If it weren't for what Jesus did, all of us, every person, would be cast into the lake of fire. But because of Jesus, there is a way to be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the only way anybody is going to be saved. It's only through Jesus. There will be people in heaven who didn't know his name. The Old Testament saints were saved because of what Jesus did. But not everybody in the Old Testament was saved. And not everybody since Jesus died and rose again is going to be saved. It is those who are saved by God's grace. Those whom God draws to himself those to whom God grants faith. Now, I realize it is beyond our understanding how God changes us and gives us new life. But it is a fact that he's the only one who does. God's the only one who can save. And our salvation is entirely the result of his grace. Go back and reread Titus chapter 3. He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. I was talking recently with someone who just wasn't sure that they had done what they needed to do in order to be saved. You haven't. Okay? You haven't done what you have to do in order to be saved because you can't do it. You can spend from now till eternity trying to do what you got to do. You're not going to get it done. The people who are saved are those who realize that Jesus has done what needs to be done in order for us to be saved.
When you look back on your life, who comes to mind as someone who helped you when you struggled? You have the opportunity to be that person for a child in crisis. A growing number of people are committing to leave a gift in their will to organizations who care for children who are searching for healing and hope. Wares Valley Ranch is that place, and the healing and hope are found in Christ. After your family is cared for, would you please consider including a gift in your will to Wares Valley Ranch? When you do, you will become a member of Legacy 145, declaring Yahweh to the next generation. Learn more about Legacy 145 by going to wvr.org and click on the link. Again, the link for Legacy 145 can be found on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
So, go back to Achan. Go back to this story. And think with me through some of these events for just a moment so that we understand that human nature hasn't changed. First of all, they go out to fight against this city, Ai, and when they check it out ahead of time, they say, oh, this is going to be easy. I mean, they had just defeated Jericho, which was a huge fortified city. This piece of cake. Now, that is an error we often make. God does something great for us, and then we face a lesser problem, and we say, okay, thanks, I got this one. Okay, no, you got nothing. All right? Apart from him, we can do nothing. But we often live as if, you know, well, I can handle a small... God, I'll call on you if I get in any big jams. No. We need to be living in a state of constant dependence on God. Whether the problems look big to us or small to us, we need to be saying, God, what do you want us to do? And then do what God tells us. Everything we've got, we owe to him. And every day, in every situation, we need to be depending on him. They didn't do that. They went, they looked at the situation, and they said, ah, we can handle this. We don't even need to send the whole army. Just, you know, let's just go up there. Just give us a few thousand guys. We'll knock this out in no time. They go up there, and about 36 of them get killed. All of a sudden, they're running home, and they're like, oh, they beat us up. It's terrible. And Joshua, he immediately defaults to terrified mode, okay? He goes, he falls before the Lord. He tears his clothes as a sign of mourning. They put dirt on their heads as a sign of saying, we're not proud, okay? Humbling themselves before the Lord. And he cries out and he says, God, why did you bring us across the Jordan? Now, God had already told him why he brought him across the Jordan, hadn't he? God had already said, I'm giving you the land. But one defeat happens, and Joshua's ready to call the whole thing quits. And he's saying, oh, why did we cross the Jordan? Joshua, do you remember how you got across the Jordan? First of all, God told you to do it. Secondly, the water piled up in a miraculous way. This was a huge, stellar miracle. How can you doubt the God who brought you across the Jordan? 36 guys are dead. The fact is, fellow, we all deserve to die. And we're all gonna die. We need to be realistic. And most of the time, we're not. We're emotional. Most of the time, we do not think rationally. We think emotionally, if you can call it that. And so when we get word that 36 soldiers have been killed and we've been defeated by our enemy, now he defaults to worst case scenario. Everybody's going to hear about it. We're going to get wiped out. There's no future, no hope. God, why'd you ever bring us across the river? We should have just been able to stay on the other side. Everything would have been fine. If only you hadn't given us this challenge. I know you said you're going to bless us, but it doesn't look that way. Ever been there? A lot of people are like Joshua. And when something doesn't go as planned, the whole house of cards collapses. And suddenly we're thinking, worst case scenario, it's all a disaster. Now what are you going to do, God? That's pretty much what he says. It's an interesting way to pray. Verse 9, the Canaanites and the other people of this country will hear about this and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? God, don't you understand what's going to happen? We're all going to be destroyed. Then what are you going to do? I mean, what a silly way to pray. But I can relate. And God says to him, what are you lying with your face on the ground for? Get up. Get up. Well, I thought it was good to humble yourself before the Lord. It is good to humble yourself before the Lord, but when you pray a prayer like that, that's not humble. What was he doing? He was lecturing God. Sometimes our physical posture and our internal posture are not the same. So, God says, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They've taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run. Listen, they turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. You know what sin does to you? Sin opens the door for disaster. Really does. When you and I do what God tells us and things go wrong, that's okay because it's going to turn out splendidly. When you and I disobey God, we become liable to disaster. That's what was happening here with the Israelites. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Okay, that brings up the next point. Obedience is much more valuable than the gold and the silver. You understand? Much more valuable. You and I have got to realize, 2 Peter chapter 3, it's all going to burn. So don't get attached to the stuff of this world. Because whatever it is, you can enjoy it. It's nice, pretty. Yeah, I like that. Whoa, very nice. But don't get attached. And if God says give that up, give it up. Do what God tells you. Go where God sends you. Let go of whatever seems so valuable. Now, looking at this, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted among you, O Israel, you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. What if Achan had said, oh God, he's talking about me. I know what I've done. I'm so sorry. Gone to his tent, brought it out, and said, I've sinned against God. Would that have been a smart thing to do? But Achan didn't do that. Achan waited. The stuff was buried in the tent, and he was hoping maybe they won't know. Maybe nobody will tell. Okay, now, who are we dealing with here? We're dealing with God. The God who made the River Jordan stand a wall of water at flood season. So the people were able to cross over on dry ground. That's the God we're dealing with. The God who made the wall of the city of Jericho fall down. That's the God we're dealing with here. And we're going to see if we can pull one over on him. Where did Achan get that kind of stupidity? It's inherited. It goes all the way back to a couple named Adam and Eve who thought they could hide from God if they put some leaves over themselves and crouched down in the bushes. That's where they got it. They're still doing the same stupid thing all these generations later. Now, I can't imagine that. Really? You can't imagine? You don't ever think that maybe you're going to put one over it? Maybe God's busy and he won't notice what I'm up to. Oh Lord, before a word is on my tongue, you know it altogether. God knows everything about us. He knows the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Achan, standing there, and they choose his tribe, and he's thinking, oh, that's my tribe. And they got the clan, and they got the families, and they're calling the guys forward one by one. What's he thinking? Well, maybe one of them's guilty too, okay? Maybe all the attention will get focused on them, and they won't have time to get to me. But God's always got time for you. And he's called out. Joshua says, give glory to the Lord. And Achan says it's true. And he makes a full confession. But it's too late to save himself and his family. Now, I remember when I was a kid hearing this story and thinking, that doesn't seem fair to the kids. I mean, they didn't steal this stuff. It says, Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent, and all he had to the valley of Achor. And they stoned him, and after they'd stoned the rest, they burned them. Sounds to me like the family got killed. Why? On the one hand, I would suggest that the family of Achan probably knew what Dad had done. The stuff was hidden, but it wasn't hidden from the knowledge of the family, in all likelihood. But let's suppose that it was. Let's suppose the family knew nothing about it. What kind of people do you think they were? I would suspect they were people like us. Sinners. And not only do sinners living in a sinful world suffer as a result of other people's sin, but none of us can say to God, unfair, why have you treated me this way? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The rich young ruler says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Now Jesus, as it turns out, is God. So it's okay to call him good. The rest of us, we need mercy. So I don't know how much Achan's family knew. I don't know. But I do know this. Nobody is ever going to be able to stand before God and say, you didn't treat me right. If God gave us what we deserve, we would all be destroyed. It is only because of his mercy that we are still alive today. Therefore, let us humble ourselves before God. Give him thanks and praise and walk in obedience before him. Because the fact of the matter is, God offers to bless those who obey. And he promises that if we disobey, we become liable to destruction. Behold, I have set before you life and death. Choose life.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.